Welcome to Retire with Purpose, a show specifically designed to help you maximize your financial confidence in retirement. Casey Weed is the CEO and chief visionary of Howard Bailey Financial, a certified financial planner and Wall Street Journal best-selling author. He's your host on Retire with Purpose.
Hey, I'm Casey Weed, and we believe in retirement strategies that are driven by meaning and purpose. Join us this week and every week as we discuss planning for your best retirement, pinpointing your purpose, building a rock-solid financial plan, and unpacking trending topics that could impact your financial future. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Retire with Purpose, the science of retiring with confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed, joining me, as he does every week, my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson, here with me.
Hey, hey.
And we are here to discuss retirement with you. So if you're at retirement, in retirement, near retirement, or you're just seeking that coveted job optional status, you have found yourself a home. We're going to have a wide-ranging discussion today, as we always do. We're going to talk about where you might be able to receive guaranteed yields eight times other similar investments, such as five-year treasuries. We're also going to be hitting on real estate investment trusts, Medicare, as well as a very special guest. We have Ken Coleman that we're going to be sharing with you here today. Ken, you've probably seen him either on the Wall Street Journal or New York Times bestsellers list. You may have heard his Ken Coleman show, the radio show, or you just know him as part of the Dave Ramsey team. So we're excited to be sharing some of his insights with you here later in the show. But first off, we have an article that came from our Weekend Reading for Retirees email series. And if you'd like to sign up for that, go on over to retirewithpurpose.com and your first name and email will get you signed up. While you're there, you can get a link to this week's article that we're going to highlight with you right now and listen to the full-length podcast we did on the Retire With Purpose podcast, again, at retirewithpurpose.com. This one comes to you from Think Advisor, titled, What's Really Guaranteed with Fixed Rate Annuities?
David Blanchett. This is a great great article that kind of highlights a specific tool, but this is a timely topic, Casey. You know, we're talking about the ultra-low yield environment that we're in, ultra-low interest rates. It's been called the war on seniors and savers. We're just not making a whole lot of interest on our safe investments. So this is something that comes up quite a bit. We're getting lots of phone calls like, hey, my CD, my 2.5%, 3% CD just came due. They want to give me 50 bips. What do you got?
Yeah, and Think Advisor is a resource, often a resource that we share with those of you that are signed up for Weekend Reading, because these are articles written to educate financial advisors. This is written, as Marshall said, by Dr. David Blanchett, the head of retirement research at Morningstar, who is an unbiased third party, right? You've got an unbiased retirement researcher that's providing you factual information, not just designed to sell you something, but actually, in this instance, designed to educate advisors on where they can go for higher guaranteed rates for their clients over what they might have traditionally done as a broker. David, he was a past guest on the Retire With Purpose podcast as well. You can go back and check that out. That would be episode number 55. As Marshall said here, he's sharing with us that interest rates have declined so substantially that other guaranteed investments such as treasuries, 0.36% a year, CDs, 0.41% a year at the time that we're recording this. Maybe you're getting up to 1.3% on a five-year CD today. And at the same time, insurance companies are offering five-year fixed rate annuities today at yields just over 3%. So you can get a fixed rate annuity that's generating a yield that's about eight times what you're getting with treasuries and CDs today. As he says here, other similar, more traditional guaranteed investments. And, I also want to say, that this article is educating you on fixed rate annuities, and it's addressing a question that many have. They go, it sounds like there must be a catch if rates are so much higher than treasuries or CDs. So he's addressing that. He's addressing, the safety of these vehicles. This article also pertains to other type of fixed annuities that fall into that classification of risk. So that would be your fixed indexed annuities, your income annuities, as well as fixed rate annuities. A fixed rate annuity can be compared to a treasury or a CD because you're getting a fixed rate for a fixed period. And after that period of time, you can walk away, do something else with those funds.
Yeah, I think that was a good way to describe that, because I think oftentimes when somebody says an annuity, they all get kind of lumped together like, oh, I heard there's high fees and I heard, you know, I got to give up control of my principal. But this is specifically related to multi-year guarantees. So if it's a 3-year, 5-year, you got a specific period of time, it's guaranteed, and then the rate is guaranteed. You get in, get out, much like a CD.
Well, and as he starts the article off here, you know, the main reason that you're finding such higher yields with a fixed rate annuity over a CD or a treasury, you know, getting, say, 3% to 1%, you know, with a similar rate CD, is because they are generally less liquid than a certificate of deposit. Mm-hmm. And that is in relation to their surrender charges. So I think this needs to be understood because it depends on your definition of liquidity.
Right.
You know, what is liquidity? And Marshall, you like to talk about, you know, what the definition of liquidity really is quite often. Mm-hmm. You know, liquidity should be how much my account can I access in any given year, you know, without a penalty. That's how I see liquidity. So if I go buy a 5-year CD at 1%, I can get 1% every year. I can't access any of my principal. Mm-hmm. You know, with many fixed rate annuities today, you're getting 3%, but you can access quite often up to 10% of your account value entirely every year. So that means you're accessing 7% of your principal in addition to 3% interest. So there's actually more liquidity when it comes to a fixed rate annuity over other guaranteed investments like CDs. However, if you want all of those funds, it's going to cost you a much stiffer penalty.
Yes.
There are some penalty CDs that are actually incurring more than just interest. Usually it's about 6 months of interest on a CD. Whereas with a guaranteed annuity, now you're talking about a principal penalty. So you could have on a 5-year CD, you surrender it, or a 5-year fixed rate annuity in that first year, you surrender it, you may pay a 5% penalty for surrendering it. That's 5% of the total account value. Usually that goes down about 1% per year until last year, your penalty might be 1%.
Right.
Long ago, there was a gentleman that I met that came down, met with us from Toledo, and he had a fixed rate annuity that he had had for 4 years. It was going into the next year. He was sold that, hey, it's going to get a 3% rate. Well, this one did not have a guaranteed fixed rate of 3% every year. There was a floor of 1%, and it had went down to that 1%. I said, well, let's replace it with one that's going to guarantee you 3.5% per year, and that made up for that 1% penalty very quickly with that replacement. So yes, he might have taken a penalty, but he was able to get, you know, 3.5 times the return that he was getting previously.
Yeah, I think that part of the discussion is pretty important. It's like, well, you know, how soon do you need these funds? Oftentimes we run into people the other day, somebody sold a house, hey, they're not ready to buy another one. I want to put it somewhere where it's safe and can earn some interest, but they needed that. They may need those funds in 18 months or 24 months. You have to be aware of the time horizon. But once you know what your time horizon is, and you know that this money is not going to be utilized in whole, then go out and find a good rate. You're trying to get the best rate possible. I don't care if it's the bank or the government. You're just trying to make the money work.
And we're not talking about guaranteed rates of 7-8%, right? That just doesn't exist. There's no such thing. You're going to have to seriously take on some risk at this time. You know, we're talking about a guaranteed fixed rate that's insured and backed by a legal reserve system like a CD or a treasury. You know, the structure for a fixed rate annuity is along those same lines, and it's outlined here in this article. But you should address anytime you hear the word guaranteed, there should be a healthy level of skepticism there.
Yeah.
And you might say yourself, there's only two guarantees in life, death and taxes. And that is true. You know, and technically true, even of treasuries or CDs for that matter. You know, governments and banks, you know, these institutions have failed or defaulted at the same time. So insurers could theoretically default along those same lines as well. It's just important for us to understand how the guarantee works.
Yeah, absolutely. And understand the strength and the ratings of the company that you're using, whether it's a bank, is it a small regional bank, is it a large bank, is it a big insurance company, a small insurance company? We're trying to look at assets, you're trying to look at the ratings and use high quality companies.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting here, he shares three lines of defense. So he shares the first line of defense when it comes to the safety of a fixed rate annuity. He shares the second and then the third here. The first line of defense is the insurer's assets. It's relatively rare for an insurer to go into liquidation, even for, you know, smaller insurers or lower end insurers. But even if they go into liquidation, it doesn't mean that the annuitant actually loses money because there are still assets there to replace those dollars. It's not like a bank that's loaned out. You gave them a dollar, they loaned it out five times, the money's not actually there. When it comes to an insurance company, they have to keep dollar for dollar in reserve, so there are assets to back up those.
Yeah, they can't leverage their assets, so they're supposed to have assets to liabilities that are one-to-one, so if all of a sudden there's a liquidation event and they have X number of dollars in liabilities, they should have X number of dollars in assets to fund those.
I thought was really interesting here. Shared the history from AM Best, sharing that between 1977 and 2018, no A++ rated insurers went into liquidation 15 years after receiving their rating.
Wow.
Even B rated insurers, only 4.7% over that same period of time forced any type of liquidation over the following 5 years following that rating. So even a B-rated insurer has very low odds of actually going into liquidation. And even if they do, they've got assets to back those things up. And the second line of defense is shared in the article is where the state guarantee associations kick in.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to look at that too and say, okay, up to $250,000 per annuity. So it's similar in some respects to FDIC with banks, but just a different level of protection. And if you need multiple accounts, you can use multiple insurance.
And one of the things that's different, you know, you have coverage, you know, every insurance company doing business in your state pays a premium into that state guarantee into a separate fund. They're not all paying into the same fund. So if multiple insurers go under, they're each in have their own separate insurance pool that they're pulling from. Mm-hmm. Then the third line of defense is that other insurers could step in as well. So other insurers could step in and buy up these assets. And that's typically what happens. I've seen it happen a couple times. I've never seen anyone lose any money in a fixed rate annuity. Doesn't mean it can't happen. Right. But usually these deposits are so valuable when they can come in and swoop in and buy them at a discount, they can't wait to do that. The article is arguing, David Blanchard argues that it probably makes sense to purchase a product from a lower rated insurer to get the higher yield, mm-hmm. saying that, hey, you know, today he cites a couple of companies that are, you know, A++ rated insurers with yields of around 1.5%, whereas B++ yields are around 3%.
Right.
Yeah, that's not always the case. Today, you know, yields, we've got an A rated insurer that has a yield over 3% on a fixed rate annuity. So I wouldn't necessarily just say, oh, I'm just going to go straight for the
bad bottom
carrier.
Of the barrel. Yeah.
No, you want to sit down with an independent advisor that has 50 different carriers at their disposal. It can share with you all the different rates that are available and find the one that's best for you. And if you're in that situation, you're saying, boy, I just got some lazy money sitting around. It's not doing a whole lot. It's sitting in the bank or CDs. I got CDs coming up. I've got, you know, treasury or bonds that are yielding next to nothing. I'd really like to see what my options are. We're willing to sit down with you and review those options with you as independent advisors. We're offering right now complimentary financial review for the next 10 callers. You can meet with an independent financial advisor on our team, either in person or you could do it through a video meeting as well from the comfort of your home. And we'll help you determine how prepared you are to handle not just lower interest rates, but healthcare emergencies, stock market crashes, inflation, rising taxes. In short, we're here to take the guesswork out of financial planning for you, and it can take just 30 minutes. So for the next 10 callers, call right now, 866-482-9559, a comprehensive financial review we're offering with no obligation. That's 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559. Next up, we have questions from Bristol, Granger, and Fort Wayne. We'll see you when we come back.
You're listening to Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson.
Oh,
This is Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson.
Welcome back to Retire with Purpose, the science of retiring with confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson, here with me to answer questions from you. So if you have questions, just go on over to retirewithpurpose.com. In the bottom right corner of the screen, it says, ask Casey a question. And that's what John in Bristol did for us. John says, in your opinion, what are the most common roadblocks individuals experience in planning for or successfully executing a retirement plan?
John, hey, that is an excellent question. It's one of those soft questions, Casey. It's not about the hard numbers. Well, I guess it could be, but you know, in my experience, the biggest challenge is.
I thought you were saying it was a softball question.
No. I meant like the soft details.
It's not the hard stuff. It's the non-financial aspects of retirement, the softer side of retirement.
So to me, it's more like a lack of clarity around their purpose, or they're not really sure. They haven't done the deep emotional work on what retirement actually means to them. And on more of a financial topic, a lack of a tax plan, I think, is something that I see that leads to some challenges.
Now, I'd agree with you there, Marshall, that those are definitely some of the challenges. But I think it's a compound effect. You have this fear of retirement, this transition into retirement. You're not sure what it's going to look like, haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it. You don't really understand taxes or how they're going to impact your retirement. You've got concerns about the stock market. You don't know if you have enough. You've heard about the 4% withdrawal rule, the bucket approach. You've got people, the bogleheads saying, just buy an ETF, buy and hold, ride that roller coaster. And you're going, I don't know who to believe. I've got so many different things coming at me. It's this overload of communication that we have today, this overload of information coming at us today that ultimately leads to what I see becoming the biggest roadblock for most in executing a retirement plan, and that is just paralysis by analysis, right? You're unable to pull that trigger because it's overwhelming. And I think what really solves that for the families we work with is having a planning process. So you're walking yourself through a planning process that was designed to cover all of your bases systematically. And we do so systematically. We start with your purpose. We move to liquidity, then go to income, then go to growth, then go to estate, then go to taxes. And at the end of that, you're able to sit there, see the big picture, and realize, I have all of my bases covered, so yes, now I'm ready to execute because I didn't have to do it all at once. I could do it systematically. It's something that I could mentally manage and get on board with. And in the end, I see the final product, and I'm good to move on. I'm good to execute what's most important, and that is those non-financial aspects of retirement.
Yeah, I think that's a good point in saying that it doesn't have to be executed all at once. I mean, really, if you had to sit down in a room and hammer out a fully blown plan like that, it might take you a couple days to do all that.
That's overwhelming, right? To sit down and say, hey, we're going to take care of every risk you're going to face during retirement in the next 30 minutes. I think it's unrealistic. It's unreasonable. It's promissory. It's unreasonable, as you said. Instead, let's just focus on the foundational aspects of retirement. That is, can we retire? And that really starts with figuring out if we have enough emergency reserves available and if we can put together an income plan you can't outlive. Then we can get to those ancillary risks. Then we can talk healthcare. Then we can talk taxes. And then we can talk estate plan and those other elements that are important. However, you start getting the tail can start wagging the dog if you're not careful. You can get the proverbial cart ahead of the horse if you're not available. And so you start with those foundational elements, and that's what a really good planning process helps you do.
Right, because without
helps you prioritize.
Without a planning process or a way to prioritize those things, I think a lot of individuals, they got a 401k over here. They had this old IRA that they had with this financial advisor. They got this annuity from their insurance guy. They've got the bank assets. It's just kind of scattered everywhere. And they've got two or three opinions. They've got their accountant's voice. And, they're not really sure who to trust or believe, or you need something that ties it all together. Great question, John. Next up, we've got Brenda in Granger. She says, Casey, can you explain the role of a REIT within a retirement plan. Is it something worth considering?
Mm-hmm. Brenda, a REIT. So for those of you that don't know, Brenda is ahead of the curve here. She has been studying investments, apparently. It is a real estate investment trust. So right. A REIT is a real estate investment trust. And there's a lot of different forms of REITs out there today. So it's difficult to, you know, make a blanket statement here. But in general, you know, this is just an ORIC, uncorrelated asset class. It's real estate, right?
Kind of like an alternative.
Largely real estate, I should say. They're not all investing in the same types of real estate, and some of them don't necessarily resemble real estate. But the end goal here is to have an uncorrelated asset, something that's going to pay you a consistent level of income without wide swings in the valuation of the asset itself. Mm-hmm. However, there are some trade-offs. I mean, when we're talking about real estate, one, there's obviously risk when it comes to real estate, and there's a wide variance in the degree of risk in different real estate investment trusts. You have some that, you know, are doing rehabilitation, that are only working in opportunity zones. You have some that
hospitals.
Are at the other end, you know, with hospitals or municipalities for that matter. So there is a wide range of risk. And number two, you have liquidity issues. Mm-hmm. So there are some publicly traded real estate investment trusts out there that can make sense to have a portion of your portfolio allocated to. Those are publicly traded so that you can sell them on the open market if you want your money back. Mm-hmm. Granted, you know, you don't know what the value is going to be when you ultimately go to sell it. And then you also have more commonly that we see when people come in and check in with us is an illiquid or a private real estate investment trust.
It's not being traded.
It's an untraded REIT. So these assets, you know, you either have very limited or no liquidity in these vehicles, and that can be something that many are not comfortable with. I myself own several real estate investment trusts. However, they're very small portions of my overall investable assets. You know, we're talking 1-2%, 3%. I don't want to see anyone with more than 5%, max 10% allocated real estate investment trusts. And this was a real problem not all that long ago.
Right.
You know, I'd say it really seemed to peak 3 to 5 years ago. We saw many individuals coming in to visit with us that had almost all of their assets in real estate investment trusts. Yep. And they, for some reason, they were largely coming out of banking institutions that were, you know, selling real estate investment trusts after real estate investment trusts and not offering up, I think, real good education. Quite often, these individuals, they had highly concentrated positions. They had the majority of their assets in these real estate investment trusts, and they were sold that, hey, this isn't the stock market. We'll get you out of the stock market in someplace that's safer. And that's not the reality.
Yeah, you start talking about 7-8% yields or even 9-10% yields for a while there. Your eyebrows have to go up a little bit. If something is yielding that much, there must be a certain degree of risk that I am taking on. And like you alluded to, Casey, if it's 5% or less of your overall retirement assets or your overall marketable securities,
that's a good diversifier.
It's
real estate's been the best, you know, inflation protected asset over the last 100 years. So I like to see real estate as part of your retirement portfolio. I just don't want to see it being too much of your entire retirement.
Yeah, I met with a gentleman one time that had, let's say, $1 million of investable assets, and $800,000 was in private REITs that he could not liquidate. I mean, they were paying him great income, but at some point this was going to be a problem. So you just got to be careful go back to our planning process. Like, what role does a REIT play? It's step 3, 4, or 5, or 6. You know, it's not a primary role. It's a secondary role.
He went and met with someone that didn't have a financial planning process.
Yeah,
he had an investment sales process. Selling on fear or greed is what we often see. You know, I would rather see you get sold on a financial planning process or a planning framework that's going to cover all of your bases and do so from an unbiased standpoint. Our last question comes from Kel in Fort Wayne. Kel says, what is the biggest misconception you see from your clients with regard to how much money they truly need to be able to retire?
You know, Kel, great question. I think one of the biggest misconceptions I see in general is a lot of people that haven't spent the time putting together a plan have that misconception that, oh, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to retire. I'll never have enough. Even people that after they've been shown mathematically and scientifically, they've got enough. They still have this misconception that, oh, it'll never be enough. The world's going to change. So that's what I see quite often.
Well, and I think part of that comes from this mentality that we're not supposed to spend the principal. I find one of those common misconceptions being that, well, I don't have enough because I don't want to touch the principal, or just this discomfort with spending the money.
Yeah.
Why did you make it if you're never going to spend it? Spend it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad and I talked about this all the time. He's been retired for a few years now, and he says, I made it, so I'm going to spend it, right? Yeah. And I'm like, spend it. Right? It wasn't that you saved all this money because you were so concerned with leaving me money someday.
Sure.
I know that wasn't your concern. Yeah, you've already set me up for success with the education that you've given me throughout my life and the support along the way. Yeah, you didn't do this and to leave a legacy. Some have created this wealth in order to leave a legacy, and maybe for them, they need to preserve their principal. But the vast majority of retirees, the majority of the people we work with, 95% of them, they just want to know that they have enough and that it's going to last the rest of their life.
Not be a burden on the kids.
Yeah, if you had $1 million today, is the goal to, I'm only going to spend $30,000 a year, $40,000 a year because I don't want to, I want to make sure I've got $1 million when I'm 85. So, well, why? What are you going to do? What are you going to spend $1 million on when you're 85 years old? Yeah, I'd rather see you go spend $65,000 a year today and eat into some of that principal. Leave $200,000 behind to the kids.
Yeah.
But hey, again, everybody's different. But I would really encourage you to feel comfortable with spending that money that you worked hard to save so that you could actually spend it at some point in the future. If you have questions like John, Brenda, or Kel here, again, just go to retirewithpurpose.com, drop your question right there in the Ask Casey a Question box. If you would like a more personalized question, we're offering a complimentary financial review for the next 10 callers where you can meet with an independent financial advisor on our team. You can do that either in person or through a video meeting from your home, or maybe you're driving down the road. I'd encourage you to be at home for this. And when you do that, we'll help you determine how prepared you are to handle these types of questions, addressing those questions, those concerns, along with other things such as healthcare emergencies, stock market crashes, and taxation. In short, we're going to help you take the guesswork out of financial planning. It can take just 30 minutes. So for the next 10 callers, call right now, 866-482-9559, a comprehensive financial review at no obligation, 866-482-9559. Next up, we're going to be with Dave Ramsey's Ken Coleman.
You're listening to Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson. This is Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson.
Welcome back to Retire with Purpose, the science of retiring with confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson, and another very special guest today, we have Ken Coleman. You've probably heard that name before, old Kenny Coleman. What Ken does is he helps others primarily discover what they were born to do and provide practical steps to make their dream job or their next chapter, that second act, a reality. He's a best-selling author and works alongside Uncle Dave over at Ramsey Solutions.
Oh, Uncle Dave.
And he hosts the Ken Coleman Show. He has a nationally syndicated radio show. He largely focuses on providing guidance to individuals around the country on topics such as personal development, career changes, leadership. We recently had a conversation on the Retire with Purpose podcast. We focused on, transitioning into a different career later in life. We talked about purpose, meaning, passion, and a wide variety of different topics. And we did this all on Facebook Live. So if you like our Facebook page, you'll be invited to join us for these live interviews where you have the opportunity to ask our guests your own unique questions. And this episode will ultimately be coming out on the Retire with Purpose podcast as episode number 191. Again, like our Facebook page, Howard Bailey, and you'll be able to go ahead and listen to the full-length interview right now. We're going to share a few clips with you here, starting with why you need what Ken calls a purpose statement.
I mean, you can have a purpose statement in your relationships and in your personal life, and you can have a purpose statement in your professional life. In fact, I recommend it because your purpose is your why, and that is the clarity zone. It's kind of like when you were a kid and you played freeze tag or something like that, and you're running around and everybody's chasing you and you just want to get safe, and things are hectic and crazy, and a COVID pandemic hits the world and it kicks you out of your job, and all of a sudden you start to question everything. If you don't know what your professional purpose is, if you don't know what your personal purpose is, you're going to be like a ball of tumbleweed we used to see blowing across the dirt streets and the old westerns or the cowboy, you know, movies and all that kind of stuff. And so what you've got to understand is your purpose is your why, and it's clarity. And so you retreat to clarity.
That was good. I mean, I didn't know where he was going with the freeze tag, but I think he brought it back around. Your purpose is the clarity zone. I love how he said that.
You don't want to end up getting lost. And many times we see individuals get lost in a career. They've had 40 years at a job that they hated. They weren't passionate about it. They didn't enjoy it. It had nothing to do with creating meaning in their life because it didn't provide any element of what their purpose was. And what Ken said is the reason that 70% of Americans, you know, fall into this category, 70% of Americans step into jobs they're just not passionate about and they stay there is because they've entered the workforce without a vision in the first place.
Yeah, I think you can find out what your work purpose is, and you can get a Mount Everest, a clear vision, a big vision of what the dream job is. At that point, when you're really clear on that, then it's a lot easier to step into those entry-level jobs that you're not really passionate about because you're passionate about the big picture. So it's like you got to climb this ladder, but at the top of this ladder is the dream. Is anybody really excited about the actual rung of the ladder that they're on? Nobody's ever excited about it. A ladder is a utilitarian function. I've got to get to this rung, then this rung, then this rung. And yet what the problem is most people enter the workforce without a vision, without that big Mount Everest goal, the dream job. They just don't know what the dream job is. And so they go for safety, what they think is safety. And of course, you know, safe seems so smart. Except for in chasing your dream and living and working on purpose, safe is not very smart because you'll end up going to a school that you really can't afford, getting a degree that you don't want and can't even use.
Yeah, and where we kind of got into a discussion around this topic was the problem many times. You know, we both feel, Ken and I feel, that you know, millennials have this idea that as soon as they get into a job, they're supposed to love it. They're supposed to be passionate about it. It's supposed to be everything they always wanted to do. And that's not the reality for the vast majority of Americans. I mean, sure, some of us might get that lucky that we fall into that position where that job has everything we ever wanted. Look, when I first entered the financial industry, I was in insurance sales as a captive agent, right? I wasn't passionate about selling insurance at all. I had to find my passion. I had to climb a ladder to get to someplace that I wanted to get to. I had a much bigger, grander vision of the future. And that's what we have to have when we enter these positions. If we don't, we could end up being that tumbleweed.
Right. And, you know, Chris Smith talked about this in your podcast, maybe even both those podcasts. He always talks about a through line, right? You know, we look back at our life and find the constant that ran through those different jobs. Maybe you were uncomfortable as a captive agent, or maybe you were uncomfortable with only insurance. And so all those things kind of led you to where you are. So it's not to say there's not stepping stones along the way, right? But you're trying to seek out that through line. And the closer you get to that truth, you're going to find that dream job.
Yeah. I was working for a health insurance provider, knocking on doors, door-to-door sales, trying to talk to the decision maker. It was a miserable experience.
This ain't it. I don't know what it is, but I know
at least
this
I got started.
Well, it's like our advisor, Brad Simich, up in Mishawaka. You know, he kind of had the similar experience right on the front end. He's like, geez, this this is not what I had in mind for my career.
Yeah, he worked as a broker. He felt like, you know, I don't want to just, you know, knock on doors and sell people stuff that they don't want. I want to be a real financial planner.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's stepped up to the next rung. Now he is, you know, one of our lead advisors. And many times we'll meet with someone that has endured a position that they're not passionate about their entire career. Now they're 30, 40 years in and they feel stuck. They don't feel like they can possibly leave because they're in their peak earning years. How could I possibly walk away with the money and start all over at this point in my life? And Ken shared with us how you could motivate yourself to leave in those peak earning years.
Well, here's the problem. We aren't creatures with only a brain. We got a heart, and the heart's what's nudging them. The heart's empty. The heart hasn't felt any heat around the workplace maybe in 25 years. And people know that. And they go, money's not what it's about. I could keep doing this, but if I got to come in here one more day and try to get some, manufacture some juice where there is no juice and try to get fired up over this where I don't care about the results. I haven't cared about the results in forever. I don't really love the work anymore. I've mastered this. There's no challenge. I'm not growing. Well, that will begin to create buildup on the heart. So in that case, I would say to those folks, all right, that's what you're really worried about, isn't it? And you get them to admit that. And then you go, all right, let's focus on what we need to focus on. And that is, what would make your heart sing? What would be something you'd love to do? Because financially now, you actually don't have a whole lot of risk at all in your life. And it's not even a risky proposition to change gears anyway, if you do it the right way.
I like what he said there. You know, you have to pay your dues sometimes in certain positions, but when you get to that point, if somebody's financially able to change gears, I've seen some of the biggest changes in individuals that were maybe 5, 7 years, 3 years from retirement, and eventually just followed their heart and were able to find something, as he says, that could make their heart sing. And then they ended up doing it for another 10, 12 years because they were just so fulfilled.
Yeah, I think we have to think long term even when we're 65, we're 55. You know, and not just thinking long term that, hey, you know, I could find something I'm really passionate about and enjoy for the next 25 years, maybe the next 30 years, you know, and I could continue to work, but it wouldn't be work anymore because I would truly enjoy it. I'd be passionate about it. I'd be fulfilling a part of my purpose in doing this work. And Ken shared with us that boomers have a huge advantage over younger individuals when transitioning into a different career or starting a business when they are later in life.
And we know this, by the way, from research. So here's what's really fun. Entrepreneurs over the age of 45 are more successful than entrepreneurs under the age of 45. And the reason is what you're touching on. Life experience and a lot more conviction and clarity. A 25-year-old is rarely going to be able to have the true clarity and conviction of somebody over the age of 45. And the reason is because they're still experiencing life. They're still formulating a lot of their opinions and a lot of their perspectives. And they still got a lot more to learn to be able to really shape, you know, their opinions and what they want to do versus somebody who's over the age of 45 or somebody even in their 50s. A 55-year-old entrepreneur has a greater chance of success because they've already lived enough life. They know what matters to them and they've learned a lot. I mean, they've seen so much. And so they're less likely to make the young, youthful, immature mistakes that young entrepreneurs make.
Yeah, this to That's me, it's really what we're doing, you know, the mission and the true impact, the long-term impact of what we're able to do in this position. If we do it right, you know, not only are we following a financial planning process, but our Retire with Purpose framework starts with purpose. We identify where you find purpose and meaning. And I often find that if you really dig deep into your purpose, it's incredibly rare, if not impossible, you know, to have a purpose that doesn't have some element of helping others or helping people. And with the individuals we're working with stepping into retirement, stepping into a 20, 30 year retirement, they have a massive opportunity. You have a massive opportunity to positively impact the lives of so many people in this world, leveraging your experience and the wisdom that you've been able to accumulate throughout your lifetime.
Yeah, so many of our happiest retirees are those that are still serving on boards, or they're doing some coaching, or they're creating, charities. We've got several clients of ours that have started charities, and they're just driving their passion. They're helping people about causes that they truly care about.
Yeah. And if this is you, you're thinking about making a career transition, whether you're 45 or 65 for that matter, we have partnered up with Ken Coleman to offer his book up complimentary. We have a box of these books here in our office, and we're going to send them out until they're all gone. His book is titled, the number one best-selling book, The Proximity Principle, The Proven Strategy That Will Lead to the Career You Love. And in this book, you're going to learn how to build relationships with qualified experts, how to connect with professionals and learn to use them as resources, pursue a constructive and meaningful mentorship. You'll be designing a skill set and education you'll need to exceed, how to update and complete your resume and apply skills you've learned throughout your career to a second act. So if you'd like to claim a complimentary copy of this book, you'll want to call us right now at 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559. Again, we have a box of the books. They're going to go quick. You're going to want to call now. The Proximity Principle, number one best-selling book by Ken Coleman. And don't forget to check out the full-length podcast on our Facebook page, Howard Bailey, or just go to retirewithpurpose.com. Next up, we have your question of the day. What is the estimated expenditure the average 65-year-old couple will spend on healthcare in their lifetime? Will it be $100,000 or all the way up to $600,000? Take a stab at a number there, and we'll have it for you when we come back.
First-time callers are eligible to receive one in-stock book per request. Limit one book per week for household up to three books per calendar year. See full terms at howardbailey.com/terms. You're listening to Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson. This is Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson.
Welcome back to Retire with Purpose, the science of retirement with confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson, here with me. And we are here to discuss another weekend reading article for you. So if you have signed up at retirewithpurpose.com, first name and email, then you have been receiving one email from us every Friday. You would have received an email this past Friday with several different articles on trending topics in the financial planning space, specifically applying to that of retirement, whether that has to do with the latest in investment or income strategy, or in this case, Medicare tips. Those things will go out to you with commentary from myself every Friday. Again, check it out at retirewithpurpose.com and get this article. This one comes from CNBC. It is titled, Here Are Tips from Financial Advisors for Getting Your Medicare Right. And as a lead-in to this article, we wanted to hit on our question of the day. What is the estimated expenditure the average 65-year-old couple will spend on healthcare in their lifetimes? Go ahead, shut your eyes, pick a random number. It's probably wrong anyways. The answer is $606,337.
Come on. That's a big number.
Could spend on a lifetime of medical expenditures. The latest report from HealthView Services, and it is based on 65-year-old couple, but it is based on a 22-year-old lifespan for males, 24-year-old lifespan for women entering retirement with average health. So if you have worse health as you enter retirement, it could be significantly worse, but it could be significantly better. I mean, significantly better. You could be a fraction of that if you're in a healthy position. And always consider, when we talk about statistics, I mean, we're talking about the entire U.S. population here, right? Yeah. So there's probably some that are significantly poorer health than yourself. And also keep in mind that this does not include long-term care costs. Right. So home health care, assisted living, nursing home care, this costs the average senior $172,000 over his or her lifetime.
Geez, I was hoping that new, because we always used to hear 300, 350, something like that. And now that it's up to 600, I was hoping it was going to include long-term care costs. But you got to be careful when you see numbers like this, because it gives you that sensation, as we talked about earlier, that, oh, man, I don't have enough for retirement. I haven't done enough. It's not enough. I'm never going to have enough. And I think that can be paralyzing. And so it's just a matter of spending the time going through this process, trying to solve for healthcare and try to build that into your plan.
You know, and the main reason for these outlandish costs have to do with inflation when it relates to healthcare. So they apply a pretty high inflation rate to healthcare costs. They're estimating that healthcare costs rise at about 5% per year. At the same time, you know, we've covered this in previous podcasts, weekend reading articles. It doesn't mean that you have to have $606,000 at the front end of retirement as a 65-year-old couple to cover all those expenses. You'll need roughly half of that when we factor in investing those dollars on the front end of retirement. So you might need, say, $300,000 or $350,000, depending on your rate of return. Say 6% is going to get you in that 350 range in order to cover $600,000 of medical expenditures over your lifetime. So hopefully that makes it a little less intimidating. But one of the things you can do in order to greatly reduce those costs is choose the right healthcare plan as you get into retirement. Choose the right Medicare solution for those of you that are over age 65. And right now, yeah, if you're in that age group, you're just getting solicited left and right. You've been solicitated on the radio. You've been solicited on TV, in the mail. You've got digital ads being served up on you. You've got social media ads coming your way. And you go, geez, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm sick of the phone calls. I'm sick of the emails. I'm sick of all this stuff. And I understand. Trust me. I get it. I don't want to be inundated. The last thing I want to do is have someone trying to sell
knock
me one
on my
more
door.
Thing.
Yeah,
you know, however, I will say that there is some value around this time of year every time.
Yeah, open
every
enrollment,
year,
right?
There is value to be received because Medicare plans do change, and especially drug plans. You know, they do change, and you need to make sure that you're reviewing these things on an annual basis in order to make sure you're minimizing what could be your biggest expense in retirement. It's the same thing you should be doing with your taxes. Every year, you should be reviewing your taxes to see what you can do to improve your situation next year, because taxes are going to be one of the biggest expenses in retirement. It's either taxes or healthcare, and so this is why we want to check in on these things every single year. And you should be receiving value with this annual checkup. And if you decide to change plans, then you should be paying for something and receiving value. You should never, ever pay for anything that you're not getting value in. And there's much value to be received from October 15th through December 7th. You have the opportunity to enter what's called open enrollment and evaluate what your options are. Evaluate your current plans and evaluate if there's a better option to either lower your premiums or get better coverage.
Yeah. So renewals, right? But the first time, that's the really important opportunity there to make sure you get the right plan to start with. And that starts with education and getting all the necessary information, not to be overwhelming, but it is confusing and you just got to know.
Well, and if you want to know, where can I go to better educate myself about Medicare and healthcare and retirement? We had an amazing resource on the podcast a while back, the Retire With Purpose podcast, catch it at retirewithpurpose.com. And that was Dr. Carolyn McClanahan. She's a physician, and now she's also a certified financial planner. So she knows her stuff when it comes to healthcare and integrating that with the retirement plan. That would be episode number 149 of the podcast. Or we also have a webinar available for the next couple of weeks if you'd like to attend. There is limited room in each one of these webinars that we're doing with a national Medicare expert, but you can hop in, check it out at absolutely no cost. If you want to get into that Medicare and get that education, better understand Medicare, all you have to do is text Medicare right now to 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559, text Medicare, and we will send you the invitation to get signed up for that Medicare webinar. And one of the most important things that I think Carolyn McClanahan says in this article is that she says, I encourage people to get the best plan they can have because you don't know what will happen with your health. The most important thing when it comes to healthcare costs is to be adequately insured. I am one that's way over-insured. You know, I call my...
Just about every area of your life.
Oh, I just want everything insured. I want to be protected against all of those horrible scenarios. I don't want to ever become the statistic, right? Do I have high odds at 35 that I'm going to pass away at any time and leave my family destitute?
Probably not.
You know, pretty unlikely. However, I don't want to be the outlier. You know, there's too many stories and too many people I've seen that have left their families in horrible situations, and that's why I have more life insurance than I actually need. You know, the same thing with PNC in health insurance. I want to make sure I've got the best insurance I can possibly get because you never know what life's going to throw at you. And in retirement, you know, a major healthcare expense, if you're not adequately insured, can destroy a retirement. Yeah, this is the way I think about long-term care insurance at the same time. Say, you know, I'm not in love with long-term care insurance, I'll tell you that. There are some other solutions out there that can offer long-term care coverage other than traditional long-term care insurance. So there's a lot of different solutions. I had a couple that were, they're retiring early. Yeah, they're in their late 50s and they're retiring. They've got more than enough money saved for retirement. They're probably never going to touch their principal. They have so much saved for retirement, but they want to spend money. They want to enjoy it. And really, they could put everything they have in a 3-4% fixed account, never worry about running out of money in retirement. However, if they were hit with a major long-term care, probably if one of the two of them ended up in a nursing home, they could be destitute. That could destroy their retirement. And so for them, does it make sense to carve out a small portion of their funds to ensure against that very worst case scenario? Absolutely. And they're happy to do it because now they know all my bases are covered and I don't have to worry about that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you made a good point there that they're retiring early. You know, folks in their 60s, less than 65, there's a lot of great tools out there. It's worth getting educated. I mean, we're talking about healthcare as it relates to Medicare, but along those same discussions is talking about long-term care, and it's a comprehensive health plan that you have to have.
Mm-hmm. And we will help you go through everything in this article, from Medicare Advantage to Medicare supplements to your Part D coverage. We'll evaluate where you stand today and help determine if we can put you in a better position. I mean, as the article outlined, you know, we could have someone that's paying three times as much in
on
premium
a monthly basis,
for traditional Medicare over your neighbor. And we're just talking about Part B, Part D for that matter.
However,
when it comes to Medicare supplements at the same time, the great thing about Medigap or Medicare supplement policies is that they're standardized from state to state. You have one G plan, the next G plan offers generally the same benefits. And the premiums, though, can vary widely. Mm-hmm. They shared the Dallas zip code had the lowest cost for Plan G, $99 a month for a 65-year-old female. The highest was $381 a month for the same consumer for virtually the same coverage. That's the difference of about $1,200 a year to $4,500 a year.
For the same thing.
And this is why you need to evaluate these things every year. Prices change, plans change, your formulary changes, your healthcare changes, your needs change at the same time. And I think a good first step is to just sit down and get educated, go through one of our webinars. Yeah. We have a great Medicare expert that's on right now. If you want to attend an educational Medicare webinar by nationally recognized Medicare expert, you can check that out by texting us Medicare at 866-482-9559. Or if you'd rather give us a call to get signed up or just get a quick audit of your Medicare situation, give us a call at 866-482-9559. 9559. I hope you enjoyed the show today. We did cover a wide range of topics, as we always do. We look forward to catching you right back here next week on Retire with Purpose.
You've been listening to Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson. Investment advisory services offered through Howard Bailey Securities, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Working with Howard Bailey Securities, LLC cannot guarantee investment success or that specific financial goals will be achieved. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP and Certified Financial Planner in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. Howard Bailey Financial is a registered trademark of Howard Bailey Financial. All rights reserved. Information is not intended to provide specific legal or tax advice. Howard Bailey Financial nor its advisors are qualified to give tax or legal advice. You are encouraged to consult with your tax or legal professional for guidance on your individual situation. This radio show is a paid placement.